You're listening to a sermon from the Open Door Lafayette. If by God's grace you find these sermons encourage your walk with and your love of Jesus, would you please consider giving to the Open Door? You can learn more about us, next steps, as well as how to give at theopendoorla.org.
Good to see everyone this morning. Welcome. Welcome to the Open Door. Welcome to an opportunity to love and to be loved on, and so we're so thankful to have everyone here with us this morning. And if you are visiting with us for the very first time, we welcome you to the Open Door. We say to you that we're so thankful that you decided to fellowship with us this morning, and that we're so thankful that we have an opportunity to share God's love with you, because if and when you have His love, you can't keep it to yourself. You must share it with somebody, and we're so thankful to be able to share His love. I'd like to begin our sermon message for this morning by reminding us last week we shared our theme for the year, being committed to Jesus. And as I spoke about being committed to the suffering of Christ, that we're going to go through some trials, we're going to have some tribulations, but Christ is with us, and we can be comforted in Him that as we walk with Him, we'll be all right. Because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And also reminded us that we're not only committing to the suffering of Christ, but we're committing to the Lordship of Christ. That we would follow Him, that we would trust Him, that we would obey Him and let Him be the Lord of our life. And then finally, we're committing to love like Christ. We're committing to the love of Christ, to love God with all of our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and we're committing to love others like Christ loved others. And so in that thought, the Lord was just leading me through preparing and coming up with the message for today, and the word that the Lord gave to me was the Word of God. So the word for us today is the Word of God, so what? And so when you hear that, so what, there's so many in the world that can easily make that statement, that there's not a value placed on the Word of God, that maybe we misunderstand it, maybe we don't know what it's all about. We think it's this book of rules and regulations, and we miss the true essence of the Word of God. And so I'd like to share that with you today. I'd like to spend some time, you know, reminding us of one thing, that the Word of God is Jesus Christ. You know, so as we're committing to Jesus, we're committing to the Word. John 1:14 says this way, "And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we see that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. But I'd like to bring your attention to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, as we uncover and we peel back this title of the Word of God, so what? Here's what Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12 says to us, in the reading from the King James Version. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Father God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear Your engrafted Word. Speak to us mightily, Lord, that we would obey Your great command. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. And so let me just share a little bit of the thoughts behind this particular passage. You know, Paul is writing to the Hebrews, and this particular, as we look at this chapter in this book, Paul is reminding believers to rest in God's promises. The chapter begins with a warning about the promise of God's rest still standing, that God still wants us to have rest, to trust Him, to have peace and joy in His promises. The author encourages the readers to fear failing to enter into this rest that is due to disbelief, that as we don't trust, we don't believe in God, there's this unrest that can come upon us. It's so important that we be reminded of that very point, that there's rest in trusting in His word. This is paralleling to the fate of Israel, who did not trust and was unable to enter into Canaan, the promised land, because they did not trust that God would see them through. And so this is the rest that comes from depending on His word, His promises. I was reading a couple of scholars that was talking about this very thing, and a Bible scholar, when commenting on this passage of scripture found in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, he had this to say: Christians should strive to complete the work given them by God in order to obtain the greater heavenly reward. The most potent tool we have in this effort is the razor sharp word of God. Saints of God, I just want to tell you, when we start looking at the Bible, when we start looking at God's word as a tool and not the person of Jesus Christ speaking to our souls, the living God being present like a mighty rushing wind, we are missing it. The word of God is not a tool. He's a person. And I know we may have heard that, or we may say, well, just study the word of God. It'll show you how to do it. You can use it to do this. You can use it to do that. We don't use God. He wants to speak to our very soul, our mind, will, and emotion. He wants to transform us from the inside out. He wants to get up close and personal with us. And His word is living. Another well-known pastor had this to say about this passage, and I'm not going to give his name. I ain't going to get nobody betwixt because they hear it coming from man. But he said this: God's word, His spoken word, is living and active. Like when we open up the Bible, even as I'm reading it, Hebrews 4:12, right now, this is not a dead word, it's a living word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. These are not just words written on a page a couple of thousand years ago that we pull out and try to manufacture like how we might apply to our life today to help us do this thing or that thing. No, this is a living word. He's alive. Are you seeing and hearing Him, or just a tool for you? See, Jesus said something very specific in the book of Luke as He was talking about the parable of the sower. He was sharing this to share truly what the word of God is. And so He gave this parable of a sower that's sowing a seed. And He said that He's dropping it on certain ground, and that depending upon what that seed falls on will depend upon whether or not it grows and strengthens and builds. And so He ended that parable with this. He says, "He that had ears to hear, let him hear." So he made this statement about, are you hearing? If you have ears, if you've allowed your heart to be sensitive to the things of God, if you have ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples went on to ask him. We was like, we don't understand this parable. We don't want, you know, the people don't understand. Why don't they understand the parable? Look with me in Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 9-11. It says this, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. See, now everybody can't hear, okay, everybody can't take the word of God. See, Jesus wanted his disciples to understand what he was talking about. Why did Jesus say this? Jesus is speaking to hearts that are seeking and searching for him. Those that are knocking at the door. See, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God knows exactly where we are because it's Jesus, because it's God. And so not everybody is going to be able to hear the word in its truth, in its intent, because God's word never comes back void. I'm going to explain it. To those the Holy Spirit have searched their heart and found that they are ready to have ears to hear and have granted them by the Spirit with it, Jesus is calling out, don't waste it. You've been given the ability to hear. He's going to speak to you personally. He's going to say some things that maybe you don't want to hear, but it's exactly what you need. You will be able to hear the word of God, and depending on what ground you let it fall on, may determine the course of your life from here forward. So that's not something everybody can just take. It is important to understand how God's word never, ever comes back void. So there's two major results of God's word. When we receive it, when we hear it, and then receive it. The first major result is the word of God gives life. See, that's what he's talking about, giving rest. There's life that comes in. See, Psalms 119, 105 says, as thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows us right where we are. It shows us our dead works. It shows us where we're missing it. It shows us our need. It shows us that we've fallen short and we're not worthy. It shows us the death and that we're in need of life. And then there's a light unto our path that shows us the way to go. To trust him, to lean upon his unchanging hand. To trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. The word of God gives life. In Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. See, the God's word adds to us. It strengthens and grows us. It lengthens our days. In other words, we appreciate them a little bit more. We're not foolish with them. So this parable of the sower, where many did not understand it, is really a form of protection, and it's a part of God's grace and mercy. See, there's that second part of what is a result of the Word of God. See, the Word of God makes it clear who has rejected. Their hearts must be prepared to receive the seed, the Word of God. You can't just see the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and reject it without doing something to you. See, after the disciples asked him why the parable, Jesus responded this way in Luke 8, verse 10. He started quoting Isaiah 6, verse 8 through 10. This is what he started quoting. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." See, Isaiah was speaking to the Israelites, allowing this dullness to come over them. Not to hurt them, not to harm them. But you can't truly stand in the presence of God and reject him and expect that it's going to just be all right. See, he went on to say, "Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." See, the Israelites were trying to work it, to process it, to have the do's and the don'ts without the relationship. And so what Jesus was getting at and what Isaiah was sharing here through the mouth of God was that the Word of God would have an effect. If they fully heard the Word of God and they just started doing those do things, it would have a benefit. It would have a healing. They would be able to do things and it would look like they was all right. And it would lead them to sure destruction because they were just going through the motions. So knowing their heart, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. So there's a difference between having ears and having ears to hear. Not understanding prevents the decay that comes from rejecting God. See, look at Isaiah 5, verse 24. Here we see the result of rejecting the Word of God. Therefore, as a tongue consumes stubble and dry grass collapse into the flame, so their root will become like rot, and their blossom blow away as dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. See, their root would just deteriorate like rot, their foundation. The foundation would start decaying. Hardening of the heart would occur. And so in God's love and mercy, they heard a parable. They didn't understand it because their heart wasn't ready. They weren't seeking. They weren't knocking. See, you remember when you started, maybe it was by happenstance that somebody just brought you to church, drug you to church. Maybe it was grandmama sitting at a table. I remember many times sitting with grandmama and she would just pull out her Bible. And maybe there were many times where you just didn't understand, you couldn't hear, you were just like, man, I don't know what she's talking about. It sounds like crazy parables and stuff, these and these dials. But then there was something that just hit you where you could understand. Your eyes were attuned, your ears were open. And that word of God was just like pounding your heart. You had ears to hear. Let him that have ears to hear, hear. And you knew you needed to make a decision. You knew you couldn't stay where you were. You had a decision to receive what God was sharing and speaking to you, or you had a decision to reject it. See, Jesus is making a major point that those hearers that truly desire to hear will hear the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God will come unto them. But the non-hearers will only hear the kingdom of this world, and their eyes will not perceive, and their ears will not understand. See, we see an example of that with Stephen when he's preaching in the book of Acts, in the Acts 7th chapter, verse 53 through 59. With these Pharisees, with these Jews, he's starting from Abraham, and he's just going all the way through the nation of Israel and what God has done. And then he gets to 53, and he says this, "Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it." You've heard the word of God. He's been speaking mightily over and over and over again, and you not have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They bit him, grinded on him. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. He will sustain you in your suffering. When you hear him and you trust him, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God," he'll show up right when you need him. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They didn't want to hear the word of God. And ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. See, Saul didn't realize what was happening to him. His heart was being pricked. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." See, the word of God is sharp. They did not want to hear, receive. And so they covered their ears and stoned him. We can see how there can be a violent rejecting of God's word. But what's our response? Our response to the word of God. We're called to follow. And as we're reminded, that word is Jesus. We were called to follow Jesus, the Word of God. And Jesus is our example. We see this in Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 10 through 11. Jesus is being tempted by Satan. And Jesus speaks to Satan a certain way. Look what he says in verse 10 and 11. It's already happened twice before. And in this third time of this temptation by Satan, Jesus says this. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you. Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. See, what are we seeing there? Jesus is speaking the word of God. He says, "For it is written." So God is reminding us that it's so important that we understand this word, that we allow the word of God to give us rest, that we're reminded that you are a living epistle. The word of God speaks to you, but the word of God also should speak through you. See, others are trying to use the word as a tool. We saw in scripture that even some of those that were not of Jesus, they saw Jesus casting out devils, doing these different things, and so they decided they were going to do it too, and the demons came before them, and they're like, "Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you?" And so I'd just like to remind us that the Word of God is not about naming it and claiming it. It's so, so much about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. See, in Matthew 17, verse 18 to 20, it says, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief, not having trust in me. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you.'" So let me explain it, because I said earlier, we're not talking about naming and claiming it. We're not talking about us using the Word of God as a tool. What this verse is saying to us, because of your unbelief, because of not trusting in Jesus, that he is the one that does the rebuking, because he is the one that's all powerful. He is the one that authority has been given to. See, he's calling us to trust him. He's calling us to submit ourselves to God. He's calling us to resist the devil's wiles. So that's what James 4:7 says. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." So Jesus is the one that does the rebuking. We're the one that does the resisting. And so let me tell you what that looks like when you put that in the Word of God. See, Jesus made that statement. He said, "It is written." See, he's looking not only as him being the Word of God, but that he's walking out that this is what is true. This is what I'm calling every man to trust in. To trust in my word. Trust in what I've said. And maybe we're going through a trial, we're going through a tribulation. We say, we remind ourselves, it is written, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is written that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It is written that God is for me and not against me. See, when we're speaking the words of God, when we're speaking the truth of God, we're submitting to his truth, to his word. We are resisting the devil. God is glorified in our trusting of him. And at his time, at his appointed place, he rebukes. So yes, we should still be speaking the word. But we're speaking and proclaiming the word that we're standing and trusting God. That it's not in our power, but it's in his power. That we can trust him in all things. It is written. That my God loves me with an undying love. Believe that he can do it. Not we can do it. Trust in him to do it. In and through you. See, the word of God is active and powerful. Let me just break it down and talk about this passage a little bit more as we conclude. So what's the so what of the word of God? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The first part there, the word of God is quick. See, that means the word is not dead. It is alive. It is living. 2 Timothy 4 says, the word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. And so that word also means that the word of God is life-giving. It is water for our souls. It replenishes and restores us. And so Paul is writing this to remind us what we have in Jesus, what we have in the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. See, there's one version that also says it's active. See, the Word of God is working right now as we read it, as we talk about it. When we come to church and we preach and teach and share his word, God is acting through his word among us. He is moving. He is powerful. That word powerful means greater than, not powerless. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as we continue to allow his word to just be poured into us, we feel and sense the power of him living in us. So God rebukes, and we have power through his word to resist. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, when we think about that word powerful, it is a word of authority. There's power in the name of Jesus. See, my personal encounter with this was on that day of Normandy Road my experience, when I totally and truly turned my heart over to him and made him the Lord of my life. I remember going home and having this, walking into my bathroom, and when I walked into my bathroom, I turned and looked at the mirror, and there was this image. It was the image of a demon that looked like a wolf. And I remember falling back like this in fear. And I didn't have much word in me. I didn't have really anything much at all. But I just felt and sensed that God was telling me, just say Jesus. And I stood back up looking at that image, and I said, Jesus. And it wasn't of me proclaiming anything or me trying to rebuke him. It was, I'm trusting Jesus. And because I was trusting him, submitting to him, that had to flee. See, the only reason that happened because I had given myself to the Lord. See, there's spiritual wickedness in this world. The last thing they want us to do is to come to Jesus. But when we come to Jesus, the last thing they want us to do is to talk about it. So they try to get us fearful, afraid, keep quiet. So I was sensing the Lord was saying, I just get your Bible. And I started reading, and I turned to John, and Romans was the two books that I started reading. And I didn't have context about it. I didn't know Paul was speaking to the Roman, the Christians at Rome. I didn't know he was in prison and having these other things happening to him. I didn't know John, you know, that was, you know, dearly beloved of Jesus, and he loved Jesus. Didn't know any of that. I didn't know no Greek and Hebrew translations. So I didn't understand. I just had the Holy Spirit walking me through the Word of God. And it was quick, life-giving. It was active. I could sense and feel the presence of God. I could tell he was talking directly to me. That he was speaking into my life. And it was powerful. It was greater than anything else. And I opened up John. I read those first words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And I was like, hold up, wait a minute. This word I'm reading is God. I could. And he was like, yep. Yep. I could feel him. Sharp. The word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. See, picture that. God's word is a very sharp sword, top and bottom. When you touch it, it affects you. I could feel his word just cutting away death. Cutting away bad habits. Cutting away wanting to do stuff that was away from him. and wanting to trust him, wanting to follow him. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I could feel my spirit man growing as I read the word of God. As I allowed him to speak mightily to me. And so here's the conclusion, saints. Don't miss the power of God's word that is written in these holy scriptures. Don't miss the power of God's word in your life. Don't miss God. Don't miss Jesus. He is the living word. He is present. He's discerning the thoughts and intents of your heart. Will you hear him? Will you trust him? Will you allow him to be the Lord of your life? No one else. He is mighty to save. He's making a way when it seems like there's no way. He wants you to come to him, to trust him all of your days. See, the so what of the word of God. It is life. It is truth. It is Jesus. Amen.